4. Our text says, you know, last year in 2012, we passed the 7 billion population mark. 7 billion people on planet Earth. Some statisticians have said 3 people die every second. Every second. Every second of every minute, 3 people die. That's 180 people every minute, folks. And we live in a day where iniquity is abounding. Amen? There's certainly no shortage of sin, and we've taken the time to list so many over the coming or the previous weeks. I don't believe we need to go into every last one, but sin is on the rise, and we know the coming of the Lord is nigh. Amen. If you can't see the signs, it's either because you're not saved or you're not looking. Amen. His coming is so close at hand. And in Hebrews, the writer, I believe the Apostle Paul, tells us here in verse 24, he says, a great verse to live your life by, a great verse to live your Christian life by is verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love, into good works. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be considerate of one another. You know, when you're not here, you're missed. Come on now, help me, church, amen. When you're not here, you're missed. And I know sometimes you're working, and I appreciate those who will work and work the extra jobs to provide for their family, amen. I appreciate that, amen. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. A good way to live your Christian life is to be considerate of the brethren. And it's not just to be considerate, it says to provoke unto love and to good works. It'd do each one of us good to tell somebody in this church, I sure love you. Sure appreciate you. You know, there's very little feuding and fussing in a church where there's love all around. Amen. Sure, and not only to provoke unto love, but to good works. And then the writer goes on to say, part of that is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This four-word phrase, so much the more, is the springboard of our message. It's used 4 times in the Bible, twice as a parallel account. We're going to look at our message has 3 points tonight. Brother Hendershot, amen. I love, by the way, Brother Hendershot and I aren't feuding when we do that, amen. I just like to kid with him, amen. We have 3 points tonight. Number one, go to Mark chapter 7, verse 36. And we're just going to take this phrase and look at it in these times that it's used. Mark chapter 7, verse 36. I want to encourage you tonight to not have a nominal Christianity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the time for nominal Christianity. Amen. It's too close to the return of the Lord to just say, you know what, I'm going to be content, and forgive me, not content, but complacent to be an average Christian. The world's full of average Christians. The United States is full of average Christians and average churches, and it's the reason why we're in the mess we're in. We need so much the more Christians. Christians that'll say so much the more as you see the day approaching. Mark chapter 7, look down with me if you would at verse number, let's look at verse 31. It says, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon them. Now, I wonder why they would beg him to put his hand. I'll tell you why. Because they knew he could heal him. And he took him aside from the multitude. One of Jesus' very private miracles. He pulled this man aside. And it's strange. And he put his fingers in his ears and he spit and he touched his tongue. Now, listen, folks. There's nothing more. I played soccer. And you say, oh, soccer, that's not a man's sport. Well, they don't wear pads. Amen? It's pretty rough if you've ever played it. Amen? Brother Ron, I know your boys have played. Amen? It's a tough sport. One of the most vile things I ever saw in my life was one player on the other team who had been wrong turned around and spit right in the face of another player. The Bible tells us our Lord was spit upon. And here Jesus takes His holy saliva and He puts it on the man's tongue. It says, and looking up to heaven, He sighed and said, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And straightway His ears were opened, and the string of His tongue was loosed, and He spake plain. Look, this is very interesting here. Jesus is early on in His ministry. It says, and He charged them that they should tell no man. See, initially His ministry was to the Jews first. But the more He charged them, so much the more they published. A great deal they published it. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that point number one tonight is it's time that so much the more of publishing the good news. It is, listen, ladies and gentlemen, and please, I'm not berating you tonight. I'm exhorting you as your pastor. It's not the time for less witnessing. It's the time for more witnessing. I believe there's going to come a day in our country, not far away. Listen, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I believe there's going to come a day in our country where witnessing will be outlawed. We will not be allowed to go from house to house. We will not be allowed to carry gospel tracts. I have friends that are missionaries in China, and they cannot openly witness. Ladies and gentlemen, we live under the specter of freedom. It's not a time for less publishing of the good news. It's time for so much the more to tell people the good news. Listen, don't let a week pass by where you don't put a gospel tract in a bill. Or if you eat at a restaurant, as Brother Horst said, give a tract to a stranger. Or go through the grocery line and give in a word for Christ. Amen. Don't let a week pass by. Why? So much the more as you see the day approaching. Publishing the good news. Why do we support missionaries, Pastor? So much the more. So much, amen, church. So much the more. I'd like to support more missionaries, amen. I'd like to do more. I'd like to get the gospel out to Jackson. Why? Because it's a time for so much the more publishing the good news. Oh, I like this one. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And begin in verse 35. It says, and it came to pass that he was nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. In one of the parallel accounts, we learn his name is Bartimaeus. Amen. It says, and hearing the multitude pass by, so here's a blind man and he hears this commotion. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, you need to read the Bible expressively, amen? You don't read that as, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. No. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And look what it says. They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold it. Be quiet! The Master's busy! Be quiet! You're bothering him! But he cried, what's the next phrase, folks? So much the more. And of course, we know what happened here. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me! And Jesus stood The parallel account in Mark says, and Jesus stood still. See, ladies and gentlemen, it's not only time for so much the more in publishing the good news, it's time for so much the more in beseeching the good Savior. Beseeching the good Savior. Listen, it's not a time for less prayer. It's time for more prayer. Listen, that is easy preaching and hard living. It seems like we have more time-saving gadgets than we've ever had in our life, and we have less time. Everything saves time, except we don't store it up for things like prayer and Bible time. Amen. Listen, it's not a time for less prayer. It's a time for more prayer. I'm glad that the blind man gave us this example of saying, he cried one time and they said, quiet. And he could have said, okay. If he was like a lot of Christians, he said, well, I asked once and he didn't answer. Come on now, amen. But he wasn't content there. Son of David, have mercy on me! And he cried so much the more. Listen, that person you've been praying for 10 and 15 and 20 years, so much the more. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Hey, keep pecking away at that dam. Amen. Just keep sitting there because eventually some water's going to start leaking out. Amen. And eventually that dam's going to bust loose. Amen. With God's blessings. Keep praying. So much the more. Amen. So much the more in publishing the good news. So much the more in beseeching the Savior. Back to our text in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Lastly tonight, and so much the more publishing the good news. So much the more beseeching the good Savior. So much the more attending the good place. Amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is the house of the Lord. It's a good place. I want to say this. It's a beautiful place. Amen. It's a beautiful place. Amen. To drive by, I had comments from people. Had people come and say, we'd like to be married here. I said, well, it'd be nice if you got saved and joined. And maybe you could get married here. Amen. But people have come by and they'd say, wow, what a beautiful... And it is. Amen. And we try to keep it that way. Amen. We got people that take care. Laid this $40,000 worth of carpet this year. That's a good thing. Amen. Have people that clean, take care of it. But I want to tell you why it's a good place. Because it's been set apart for the Savior. That's what we're in right now. The sanctuary. Set apart. As we've mentioned many times. You know what? No rock music will ever be played on this piano. Because it's sanctified. It's set apart for God. And know this, ladies and gentlemen, that you have a pastor that believes in the church, believes in the independence and the autonomous nature of the local church. We're a local body of believers, but he commanded us to attend together. And I know the prevailing nature of the day is that Wednesday night service is outdated, outmoded, and not needed. How do I know it's the prevailing nature of the day? Because we have about 160 here on Sunday morning and about 80 here tonight. And listen, we're still having service. But I drove, as I went to the Horses today, I drove by a church and it said, they had on their sign, it said, E-Worship, Saturday nights. And what it was it was a banner for a progressive service. The opposite of what I believe God's Word teaches. The going with the world and going with the flow. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the time for less church. It's the time for more church. Amen. That's why, bless God, until the Lord comes, we will have an 8-day meeting every year. Called our missions conference. because it's so much the more. Amen. Missions is important. This year, we also have an 8-day revival scheduled with Brother Dan Sousa. Why do we do that? To gather together, to exhort one another, to encourage one another, draw strength from one another. And you can't do that by yourself. We're a body. And sometimes, Brother Boston, the body's here, but the hand is somewhere else. And God, give us the illustration of the body that says, where the foot goes, the hand goes too. We go together. We're in it together, folks. So much the more attending the good place. And listen, you want to talk about preaching to the choir. You're here on Wednesday night. You ought to be here for Sunday school. Ought to be here for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, a special meeting, soul winning and visitation, amen. Together, together, together. Why? And I'll tell you why. It's right there in the text. You see the day approaching. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know this. We're one day closer to the Lord's return than we were yesterday. Some of you have been waiting for the Lord's return for 50 and 60 years. And you've heard about it. You've heard preachers thunder that He's coming and He could come at any moment. And that is true. But you know what? So much the more until He comes. So much the more. Let's get out of this nominal Christianity. I got a taste of that as a young man, Brother Boston. I worked in a union shop. And I started working hard. Because that's what my dad taught me. Supposed to work hard. If you dig ditches, you ought to dig them hard. Amen. And I was working hard on this, and an older man came to me, and I have respect for older men, but there's old fools too. And this older man put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Hey, take it easy there, job killer." Now, some of you heard that too. Hey, listen, we don't need that in Christianity. If you're on fire for God, you know what I want to do, Brother Howard? I want to take my big sheet and flap it, amen? And I want you to burn hot for God. Because we don't need so much the less, we need so much the more. That kind of Christians, people say, "Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." I've never met one like that. Maybe they're out there, I just haven't met them. Because if you're heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. You'll be affecting people around you for God. So much the more. Publishing the good news.